It is our great joy to welcome you to the Words of Life program. As you likely know, we are presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today, Brother David Johnson will talk about faith and action with the sermon topic, Complete by What He Did, which is found in James chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. Our study continues the series of sermons on the book of James. We now praise our Lord with song. If you recognize the song, why not sing along? Dear Lord and God, we thank you that we can talk to you in prayer, knowing that you are our Father and our Savior. Please use the words of this program for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with the convictions, healing, and peace that are needed, and help us to be faithful to you. Especially be with persecuted Christians who are standing in need of Jesus. Please also help local congregations to grow in faith and number. The time when Jesus will call us home is getting closer, so help us to be watching for him. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now, Brother David Johnson will present his sermon entitled, Complete by What He Did.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the message is Complete by What He Did. And the text in our ongoing series in the epistle, the letter of James, is taken from James chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. Please listen to the Word of God. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This is the word of God. In spite of all the scripture verifying that true saving faith produces godly deeds in his name and for his kingdom, professors of Christian faith continue to simply claim belief in God is all they need for salvation. They continue to reject godly deeds and godly behavior as necessary as a verification of saving faith. James, inspired of the Holy Spirit, affirms saving faith is a dynamic faith. It works. It has fruit. It has evidence in the way that we live, in our behavior, in our conduct, in our actions. It has a pattern of godly conduct. Faith without these is dead faith, which is no faith at all. Donald Gray Barnhouse, a fine expositor and illustrator of Scripture, writes these words, quote, "You cannot row a boat properly without two oars. If you use only one, the boat will turn around and around and make no progress forward. We, thus, must have both faith and works in Christian life. Belief alone is not sufficient, for faith without works is dead. Works without faith will disturb the surface of the pond, but will not take the boat forward. The two must go together. Paul emphasizes faith in Romans, for he is describing salvation from God's viewpoint. James emphasizes works in his epistle, for he is describing salvation as men see it." End of quote. James chapter 2 and verse 20. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Foolish in the original Greek means empty or defective. Therefore, a person who claims saving faith without the evidence of corresponding good deeds has empty faith, which is no faith at all from God's perspective, which is the only faith that matters for salvation. That is what God knows is proper and appropriate as saving faith. Useless has the idea of fruitlessness, a lack of productivity. Therefore, a person who claims genuine faith but has a fruitless life of good deeds and good behavior does not belong to God, has not been born again of God. Why is it that so many claim to be Christians based only on mental assent to basic truths about God and Christ? Because it's natural for the flesh to pursue shortcuts shallow remedies, man's way rather than God's way, even unto salvation. It is so much more appealing to claim faith rather than to be faith workers. It is so much easier to claim faith rather than to be faithful in a pattern of obedience. True faith is never in a vacuum. It is faith that is exercised with tangible evidence. James goes on to illustrate living faith versus dead faith. That is, faith with evidence by godly deeds versus faith without evidence without godly deeds. First is Abraham, the venerated patriarch and father of the Hebrew people. The Jewish Christian recipients of this letter knew the story well. James chapter 2 and verses 21 through 23. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. There are still theologians and believers today who dismiss verse 21, Abraham considered righteous for what he did, because they focus only on faith alone, not accompanied by corresponding deeds. The reformer Martin Luther is one who found this verse offensive. He was so adamantly opposed to the Roman Catholic teaching of salvation through works that he completely missed James's inspired teaching in this epistle, actually calling the entire letter an epistle of straw. But James was not contradicting the doctrine of salvation by the grace of God through faith. James was not dealing with the means of salvation at all, but rather the outcome, the product of saving faith that gives evidence that it is saving faith. Genuine saving faith inevitably will be demonstrated outwardly in the form of godly deeds and godly behavior. Verse 22 clearly confirms this, that says in part, faith and actions working together. Faith made complete by what he did. So Abraham is the model for saving faith, both for Jew and Gentile. A man whose genuine faith was active and acceptable as saving to God. The expositor John MacArthur writes these words, quote, because fallen man is morally and spiritually bankrupt, with no redeeming merit at all before God, nothing he can possibly do in himself and by his own power can make him right and acceptable before the Lord. It is for that reason that salvation has always been possible solely through the pure graciousness of God working through a faithful response to his grace. It is not that in the Old Testament men were saved through the law, and that in the New Testament they are saved by faith. At whatever point in the unfolding revelation and work of God men may have lived or will ever live, God requires nothing of them for salvation except true faith in him. Hebrews chapter 11, which makes abundantly clear that both before and after the law was given at Sinai, salvation was by faith. Abraham believed in the Lord, Moses tells us, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, end quote. So the true faith of Abraham then proved itself when he offered his son Isaac on the altar in that particular case as an example of actions following faith that made it saving faith in Abraham's case. We should note that the offering of his son Isaac was Abraham's supreme demonstration of his saving faith, because that offering happened many years after Abraham's justification by faith, as recorded in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. James uses this illustration when he offered Isaac that the whole world understand the reality of his faith. It was a living faith, not dead faith. A dynamic faith. Think about this supreme demonstration of Abraham's faith as saving. Although God's command for Abraham to sacrifice his son threatened to cancel God's promise of blessing that mankind would receive through Isaac, and also contradicted what Abraham knew to be God's prohibition of human sacrifice, nevertheless, this man of great faith still trusted, put his faith, his saving faith, in God. According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. End quote. So Abraham obeyed God implicitly. James's point is that the overall pattern of obedience of Abraham demonstrated his saving faith. Likewise, when we have evidence patternistically in godly behavior and godly deeds, we show ourselves to have saving faith. Whether Old Testament saints or New Testament saints, that's the way it's always been. Simply put, a person declared righteous will live in a pattern of righteousness. Imputed or reckoned righteousness will always, without exception, demonstrate personal, practical righteousness. Even the reformer John Calvin famously wrote, quote, "Faith alone justifies, but the faith that justifies is never alone," end quote. There must be evidence, fruit, by our behavior as born-again baptized believers and by our deeds, godly deeds. We should not think salvation requires faith plus works, but instead, faith that saves is not minus works. Godly deeds and godly deportment are the mandatory outgrowth and completion of genuine saving faith. Jesus used the illustration of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is not something added to a plant, but instead is a plant's natural produce. For example, whether olives or figs, these are integral parts and functions of a plant. Likewise, when a person is born again through saving faith, he is a new creation given by God, created for producing fruit, good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 verifies this. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In this way, faith was made complete by what he did, and faith made complete by what believers today also do. A fruit tree is not complete until it bears its natural fruit. So a person claiming saving faith is not complete who has not produced the fruit of godly deeds and godly character. Imagine being called the friend of God as Abraham was. That is a designation we should all aspire to, even as we in the church are called sons and daughters of God. John MacArthur writes, quote, "Just as he, Abraham, was the father of the faithful," according to Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, and also Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, "he might also be called the father of the obedient, because those two godly characteristics are inseparable." End quote. "You are my friends," Jesus said, "if you do what I command you." John chapter 15 and verse 14. The second person James used to illustrate obedient saving faith is a curious choice, being so very different from Abraham, James chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Consider that Rahab was a pagan, a Gentile woman, who had been an immoral person as a prostitute. Abraham had been an upstanding Chaldean. Rahab was a degraded Canaanite. Abraham was at the top of the socioeconomic order. Rahab was at the bottom. Yet both were included in the heroes of the faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It's as if James chose graphic extremes to emphasize that regardless of every human characteristic, God, in His magnanimous grace, still saves those who genuinely trust Him, evidenced by their good deeds and their godly deportment for His sake and by His Spirit. Rahab proved the reality of her trust in the God of Israel when, at great personal and family risk, sided with Israel and Israel's God against her own people and the gods of the Canaanites. This speaks volumes of her great faith. Rahab amazingly, without much knowledge of the God of Israel, nevertheless believed in Him and the victory over her own people. Rahab's actions produced from her faith justified her by what she did, just as James chapter 2 and verse 24 indicates. As with Abraham and every other true believer, reckoned righteousness through faith resulted in practical righteousness reflected in godly behavior and good deeds. Likewise, today, our inner living faith is manifested in our external lifestyle. God can use anyone for His glory of those who surrender to Him in genuine saving faith. Rahab was even in the human lineage of Jesus Christ, being the great-grandmother of King David, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. The connection between Abraham and Rahab is that both put their most precious lives on the line trusting God. For Abraham, it was Isaac. For Rahab, it was her entire family, herself and her family. Finally, James put an exclamation point on faith is made complete by what we do. It is alive, not dead. James likens dead faith or professed faith without the evidence of good deeds as to a body without a spirit. Both would be useless without any life, without any life-giving power, both dead. And both James and Paul agree. It's not saved by faith plus works, but rather saved by faith that works. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." May we, dear listener, trust God and verify our trust as Abraham and Rahab by our attitudes and actions plainly obvious to God. Put another way, what we do with our hands points back to our hearts. Dear listener, do you really have a faithful heart in God through Jesus Christ by the inspiration, or that is, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit to have also helping hands for the Lord?
Each week, we present a sermon and songs in the hope that our listeners will know Jesus. Have you made that important decision for Jesus? Deciding to become a Christian is the most critical event in your lifetime, so please let today be your day of salvation. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this program, request Program 2035, that's CD 2035. Hearing from you is an encouragement to us. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.